I have watched that like 5 times and I smile every time. There's some kid makes, there's one little girl, she's like, I'm not doing nothing. Standing here. I can't be bothered by all this. It's so funny. And I'm so proud of our kids and our leaders. And if you were an adult here that Wednesday night when y'all were trying to have class, and I kept telling Charlotte, turn it up, turn it up, turn it up. She'd be like, I'm like, I know that you all probably thought that I probably need to be fired, and you're probably right, because it was crazy. I was adding up last night how many kids, leaders, birth through 12th grade, just counting them kind of off the top of my head, I got to over 75 volunteers in this church working with kids on a weekly basis. Is that not amazing? I know. Blows my mind. It blows my mind how dedicated our people are. So today, we're going to talk about how we are so for you as parents. We are for you as kids. We are for Jesus around here, and we know that he is the only way that we as a church and we as parents and as a community can raise what we're talking about today, which is mountain movers. Come here, Evie. I've asked my niece to help me with this. Yes, we've been talking about how strong she is today. Don't you think you're pretty strong for your age? Yeah. She's pretty cute, too, don't y'all think? Yes. So, come here, Evie. You'll have to bring my lights up over here, Ms. Harvey. So we've got some weights over here, okay? I'm going to see how strong you are, all right? Like we did in first service. You're going to hold this one. We're going to curl with one hand, just like Auntie. Mm-hmm. Yep, she's got that one down. Good. How about these pink ones? Can you pick up a pink one? Can you curl it? Can you curl it? Atta girl. Look at that. Yes. Okay, how about one of these darker ones? Can you get it? Get it. Oh, girl. Atta girl. Oh, geez, she says. Ready? Curl it with both hands. Oh, lift it over your head. Yeah. Way to go. All right. Good job. All right. Let's move over to these heavy, heavy suckers. All right. This one's really heavy. Don't drop this one on your toe now, okay? All right. Ready? Pick it up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Woo! Woo! All right. Ready? Curl. Wow! All right. Awesome job. All right. Let's go. We're going to do this really, really heavy one right here, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Ooh. Now curl it. Oh! Way to go. Way to go. So, woo, she's got to work out that lactic acid. So, do you think you're pretty strong? Yeah, you're pretty strong for a kindergartner, aren't you? Do you think you're strong enough to move a mountain? No? Like, get on the side of the mountain. I'm out of breath again. Okay, get on the side of the mountain, push with both hands, and like, move it. No? Did you know that the Bible says, so does your shirt, that you're a mountain mover if you have enough faith? Let's look at the verse. We're going to read it together. Today's verse, our scripture comes from the book of Matthew today. It says, because you have little faith. He was talking to his disciples. They were like, why can't we do something? Then he said, truly I tell you, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, and you said to this mountain, move from here to there, it will move. Nothing is impossible for you. You believe it? You should. It's what the Bible says. You should. Everybody give it up for Evie. So the Bible says, what would be impossible? Nothing. Nothing would be impossible if you have what? Faith. If you have faith. We're going to talk today about how to raise kids with faith that would move mountains. And we know that the word says it's possible, that nothing is impossible. So the first way I really feel like that we as a church and as a community, as parents, that we can raise mountain movers is the simplest, and it's one that y'all already have down, which is we welcome them. We welcome them. Did you know that the Bible says if you welcome kids, you welcome Jesus? Now, it should be pretty easy to welcome your own kids. Like, you should be really excited your kids exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you're like, I'm really happy to welcome them when I'm trying to go to the bathroom. Amen? Like, why do they want to have your full attention when you need to go to the bathroom? Are you here? Is anybody feeling me? Like, shout out to all the moms who have held a baby on a toilet. Yes. Y'all, when your mom's and dads need to go to the bathroom? Not the time. Not the time. Give them some peace. But it's easy to welcome your own kids. We do a good job around here of the second part of that, which is welcoming other people's kids. Now, this church is notorious for welcoming other people's kids. We do lots of things for other people's kids. We run a bus on Wednesday night. And let me promise you, if you think that bus is not Nightmare on Elm Street every week, you need to ride the bus one week. Because I'm pretty sure that Nancy Beckman could tell you, Jeff Combs could tell you what the bus is like. But man, we run that bus. We bring those kids in here. We do a VBS for like almost 300 kids every year. We ran a bus to motels and picked up motel kids, brought them in. You guys, like I said, have never once complained to me about there's too many kids. In fact, I have a feeling that if you think there's too many kids, you don't come to church here. Like, you probably never wanted to come back. And that's okay. There's churches, I guess, without kids for people who don't like them. But I feel like everybody ought to do something for kids. So welcoming our own kids is easy. But what about welcoming other people's kids? What about welcoming kids who maybe live next door to you that are a little annoying? Dennis the Menace. Anybody live next door to Dennis the Menace? Yep. Welcoming kids who maybe are a little out of your comfort zone, right? Welcoming other people's kids is important because let me tell you something, y'all. Your kids' friends are sometimes and most often the greatest influence on your child's behavior that you have. It used to not be the case, but it is now. Listen to me. Your kids' friends are sometimes the greatest influences on their behavior. Is that terrifying to you? If it is, you probably need to do something about it. You probably need to work hard at making sure those kids are welcomed and hear about Jesus. My husband and I set out years ago when we had our son, we decided we were going to set out to go after his friends. Because I really believe that, and you've heard me say this before, that one family can make a big difference in a group of people. One family can make a big difference in a group of people of any age if they're intentional about it. So we were intentional. We started going after those kids. We started going after their parents in prayer. We were praying for them. We were praying for their parents. We're praying that they'd be godly boys. We're praying over their purity. We're praying over their behavior. We're praying over every aspect of their life because we knew that they would be so important to our family. And man, welcoming them and loving other people has added so much value to our lives. It's made so much of a difference. There's a family here that comes to church here that has welcoming other people's kids all figured out. Show those girls. Anybody know the Gandy family? Some of you guys are in this Gandy family. I know. We love them. I've decided if I couldn't be a Webb, I want to be a Gandy because they love each other. And see the lady on the end there, that's Grandma Mary. All these girls live in the same house, mind you, okay? Grandma Mary, she has like revolutionized our infant room. She brought her own rocking chair when she started working in there. And like she straight up smacked me over the face if I tried to take a two-year-old out of her room. You know what I'm saying? Like she owns those kids. She's like, I have a problem to pick with you. Why did you move that kid out of my room? I'm like, he turned two. I'm sorry. She's like, he's my baby. And I'm like, they're all your babies. She rocks those kids. She loves those kids. She's going to work on their little sounds and their counting. She has an hour a week, but my gosh, every one of those people, they own it. Then she's got her single mom daughter in the middle and her daughter-in-law there, and they're both of their daughters. And then there's the boys in the house. Show the boys. See them? Aren't they cute? And those aren't even his sons. They're his nephews. But like he coaches all their ball teams and like takes them fishing. And he's making an effort to fill a gap in their life. I mean, they blow my mind. The Bible says there is no greater form of religion than taking care of widows and orphans. And let me tell you something. They got them both in their house. They are welcoming other people's kids. They're welcoming their own kids. They got extra people all the time bringing them to church. Misty's driving all the way to the dam to pick up kids for breakfast club. She lives in Hollister. They're getting everybody here at church. And let me tell you something. They're starting to see, and probably have been for a long time, some fruits of this labor. They're starting to see a result of the effort that they're making in welcoming other people's kids. Because here's Bailey. She lives in this house. Bailey, 15-year-old girl, comes to church here. She did all three of the last women's studies. We have loads of women who start the study and don't finish. She comes every week. She does her book every week, which is no easy task. She's faithful. God's using her. He's increasing her faith. He's doing awesome things in her life. Let me tell you something. I am inspired by them. I want to be like them. I want to make sure other people's kids are a priority to me. My own kid is a priority to me. They have got it figured out. The Bible says in the first part of that chapter, Matthew 19, Miss Harvey says, Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. He also goes on to say that he who welcomes a child, and on down to that next verse, Miss Harvey, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. We really have to be in the business of welcoming kids, even when there's kids that are frustrating, even when you don't really want to take your neighbor's kids to church. I can promise you it's important. The second way we can raise all of y'all to be mountain movers is this, and this is the hardest one, is to be a good example. I got put in my place on Friday night, wasn't it, Charlotte, the ball game? I was complaining about something. Mm-hmm. And one of our first graders happened to be there, and he was sitting next to me. And he said, Miss Rachel, I got a word for that. You know what? What's our theme for this month? Patience. I don't think they ever listened to me. God bless them, they do. Anyway, he said, Miss Rachel, I have a word for that. It's called patience. Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, my Lord. I go, well, isn't that a knife to the heart? He just smiles. He has no front teeth. He just smiled. And I was like, yes, Miss Rachel needs to be more patient. I need to practice what I preach, right? We have to set a good example. And setting a good example is not always easy. It's a tall order. But we as a church and we as parents have to set a good example. Because let's face it. Our very most important job as their parents is to make sure they get to heaven. Hands down. And as a church, hands down, it's our most important job. We're going to make sure they get to heaven as far as it depends on us. We're going to make sure they end up in heaven. There's a follow-up to that. It's the one we forget all the time. It's the discipleship. Once we make sure they're saved, then we got to make sure they're discipled. And I want to camp there for a minute. I want you to know, please, I am not judging you at all. I know how hard it is to raise kids. But let me tell you something. The discipleship of your child is so important. And the way to do that is to make sure they're going to church. And I'm talking all the time. And y'all are like, we're here. Our kids are already here. I hear you. But sometimes it's so hard to keep that as a priority. Because we tend to put every other thing in front of church. I want to ask you a question. Why do we let kids become their own spiritual authority? Why do we let them make decisions based on their discipleship that they're not ready to make? We wouldn't let our kids, I heard a pastor say a couple weeks ago, we wouldn't let our kids eat whatever they want. Why? Y'all would eat sugar, right? Would you ever eat something green? No. What would you eat that's green, a popsicle? Yeah, that's what I thought. We don't let them stay up all night. Shh, listen, we don't let you stay up all night because it's not good for you. We don't let you decide to wear shorts and a t-shirt when it's snowing outside. Why? It's not good for them. We don't let them handle a firearm whenever they want. Why? Because we know it's not good for them. Then why do we let them make the decisions about their spiritual lives, about whether they're going to go to age-appropriate teaching or not, or whether they're going to attend church? I'm just not going to make them. It's tough. But making sure your kids are in church and getting discipled on a regular basis is the first step of setting a good example and then living it out in your own life. Listen to this quote. It says, half-hearted obedience in this generation will lead to full-on rebellion in the next. Man, when I heard that, I was like, gosh, I am half-hearted obeying sometimes. I shouldn't want to be raising a disobedient son. I don't want him to have full-blown rebellion. And if it depends on me to be obedient, that's a tall, tall order. Boys, I want to ask you a question. Can you promise to lead your families in a godly way and make sure your kids go to church? Yes. Girls, can you promise not to coddle your kids into disobedience and like hold them up instead of grow them up? Yes. All right, everybody, raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your name. State your name. Promise to raise godly kids to the best of my ability. Amen. I'm going to hold y'all to that. Amen, amen. Yes, amen, amen. So, Matthew 18 says, about being a good example. Yes, listen to this. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Do you hear that? Setting a bad example or causing little kids or any kids of any age to stumble, to cause them to go down the wrong path, you'd be better off with a cement block around your neck and drowned into the sea. That's what the Bible says. The Bible also says that temptation will come, but woe to the one through whom it comes. Shame on those who lead kids down the wrong path, right? Shame on them. Shame on me sometimes. Setting a good example can be hard. You're not mad at me, are you? Hope not. I know it's tough. The third thing we can do if we want to raise a mountain mover kid is we got to pursue him. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus tells, and you can put the scripture up there, about the 100 sheep. I'm going to tell the story because I'm a storyteller, and this is how we tell Bible stories in kids' church. Jesus tells a story about a man who had 100 sheep. Everybody say 100. He had 100 sheep, and one of those sheep wandered away, one, and he still had 99. What do you think he did? He went after it. Listen, the Bible says he went after the one sheep, and when he found it, he brought it back to his friends, and guess what they did? They rejoiced. They rejoiced because they got the one that wandered away. He's actively pursuing us. That's what Jesus does. He's the good shepherd. The Bible says he's actively pursuing us, and we have to actively pursue our kids. At the end of the parable, he says, and I love this, it is not his will, put that one up there for me, Harvey, that not one of them should perish. My husband left me. You got it? You got it, Miss? He says, I'll just tell you. He says, for it is against his will that even one of these little ones should perish. It's out of his will that even one should perish. So let me ask you something. Is it out of your will? Like, can you not stand it? Like, can you not sleep at night? Like, you cannot even stand the idea that someone, especially a kid, is going to perish from lack of Jesus? Because that's what the Bible says. It's for God. That's why God pursues us. It's out of his will that anybody should perish. I want to have a heart that cannot stand the idea of the lost people I know perishing without Jesus. Like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. As far as it depends on me, nobody's perishing without Jesus. That's what it means to go after the one. That's what it means to have a passionate will that chases after people, that pursues us like God pursues us. I joke and I say that if my son moves away someday when he grows up, I'm going to move too. It's a painful joke, but it's kind of true. I probably will. And I want you to know, like, I love my son passionately. I know you love your kids like this too. I mean, there is nothing he could do that would ever change how passionately I love him. And I am pursuing his heart for God all the time. And I'm believing big things. I'm believing he's going to follow God. I'm believing he's going to be a godly man, that he's going to have success in life. We do all kinds of things to make sure he's successful in the things that he does, and I'm believing big for him. But let me tell you something. Even if he doesn't, I am going to run after him like the one sheep. I am going to passionately pursue him and pray for him until literally till the day I die, if I never see a change. My dad prayed for his brother for 40 years. That's tough. And God answered his prayer. But if his brother was still unsaved, if he still had not come to know Jesus, I can promise you he'd still be praying and passionately pursuing him every day. And that is how we have to act like God when we pursue this generation. We are going after them. We are going after their friends. Verse 18 is my favorite part. I'm sorry, verse 10. It says this. This is so awesome. See that you do not despise. Some versions say look down on one of these little ones. Listen. For I tell you that their angels in heaven are always seeing the face of my Father in heaven. All of you have an angel. And the Bible says that your angel is always before Jesus. It's always before God. And no doubt that that angel is advocating on their behalf, praying for them, willing for them to do well in life, pursuing them. Their face is before the Father. Guys, that's huge. And because of that, it makes me want to pursue them all the more. We spend a lot of time in the car. I know a lot of you probably do too. And I'm trying to take advantage of that because I'm like, this is like a few times that I can actually talk to him without other distractions. You know what I'm saying? And so I got some questions when I pick him up. I don't just say, how was your day? Because what am I going to get? Fine. So I try to say, what was the best part of your day? Any things you'd like to do over? How'd you do as a leader today? So he's getting older. How'd you do? Did you inspire anybody today? Who are you kind to? And then, man, I get my hand on his head, and I know he probably thinks I'm just scratching his head while I'm driving, but the whole time I have my hand on his head, I'm praying. I'm going after his heart. I'm pursuing it in prayer. And I'm saying, God, give him a godly wife. God, give him a good job. God, give him favor. Cause him to love you. Lord, give him godly friends. Father, win people through him. I'm pursuing him, and I'm pursuing these kids in prayer, and I know you are too, but we can't give up. We got to keep loving them. One of my oldest friends this week said to me, and his son, who's a young adult, has been a real struggle. He said, you know, my son asked me what time church was on Easter. And I'm starting to actually see the fruit of my prayer come to fruition. I'm starting to see his heart soften for God. And he said, I've tried to spend the last 5 years of his life just loving him. Because I tried lecturing and it didn't work. So I try to love him. That doesn't mean I love everything that he does. And he's starting to see his son soften to God. He's passionately pursuing his son. God wasn't always answering his prayers, he felt like, but he never gave up in the idea that he was raising a mountain mover. So you might be here today with a little bitty one, and we know that's tough. And sometimes you feel like all you do is keep them alive. And I want you to know, I want to encourage you, and I want you to know that every single thing you do for them matters. Every single moment, middle of the night, it matters. It matters to God. And I want you to remember that the face of that child's angel is in front of Jesus. You may be 10 plus years into your journey like I am, where you literally are feeling like you're trying to squeeze out every last drop, like you know your time is coming to end. There's only so many marbles in a jar, and there's a lot of things you'd still like to do with your child. And let me tell you, I know this, you probably sometimes feel like a total failure because you shout at your kids or you're impatient or whatever. You feel like you're failing. Let me encourage you with this. My mom and dad probably made 100 mistakes. I don't remember a single one. And let me tell you why. Because they loved God. They darn sure loved me. And they tried to make sure I loved God too. And I can promise you, there were days that they didn't like each other. Probably months they would go by, they didn't really care for the sight of each other, or they were struggling. Maybe they had really needed to start fresh with God. But I don't remember any of that. You know what I remember? I remember that they just kept trying hard. That they just kept starting over. Because you can always start over as a parent. I'm 42 years old. Don't tell anybody. My parents are actively parenting me every day. You know what I remember? My dad mowed my yard yesterday. He loves me passionately. He pursues my heart. Your parenting never really ends. And maybe you're kind of at the end of your journey. Your kids are adults. And maybe, like, you're really kind of disappointed. Like, you've done all these things. You've prayed for them. You've invited their friends to church. You tried to raise them in church. And you're still not seeing God really what you had hoped for. And it's not, doesn't feel like it's falling apart. But I want to encourage you. Listen, don't give up. The Bible says this. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will receive a harvest if you do not give up. Don't give up. Pursue them till their dying day, till your dying day. Because I can promise you that the face of their angel is in front of the Father. And you're not alone. He's partnering with you. I'd like everybody to bow your heads. If I can pray for you as a parent, nobody's looking. I want you to just lift your hand. If I can pray for you as a parent, yeah, I see all your hands. I see your hands. So God, you saw these hands go up. Lord, you know how hard it is to raise kids because you've had billions of them and most of them have been unruly. And God, I know that you are seeing every struggle and that you're with us in the fight. God, I pray that you would teach us to be a church and a society and a parent, God, who actively pursuing our kids for Jesus. That we're like the 99 and the one. We're going after them. Father, help us. Strengthen us. Draw us to you. Make us wise. Show us, God. Help us to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will make our path straight. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful we're not alone. Amen, amen. In a moment, we're going to have time of prayer. But I want to read you the lyrics to probably the most famous worship song right now. It's called Reckless Love by Corey Asbury, and it says this. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. It chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, and still you give yourself away. If you don't know Jesus, He is passionately pursuing you. If you've walked away from God, I promise you, He is passionately after you. His heart for you has never changed. He's not mad at you. He just wants to rejoice when you return. So we're going to have a time of prayer. Prayer partners are going to come up. If you don't know Jesus, you need prayer as a parent. And here's the big one. If you will come pray over your kids, over other people's kids, over this church and their heart for kids, I love to see this place just filled up with parents who are willing to pray. Prayer partners, you all come on up. Everybody stand. Josh is going to sing.